Hey everybody, I'm Allie Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about finding the courage to embrace change when you're not in charge of that change. Now, certainly change is a challenge for all of us in life, but there are changes that I make by the choices that I make, and I'm aware of those changes, and I have time to process those changes, and I'm choosing those changes. In other words, when my son left to go to college, when he was born, I knew that there would be a day that he would fly out of the nest, that I would let him go, and that was a significant change in my life, but it was one that I knew about. It wasn't unexpected. And as a mom, I certainly made that choice to know that one day that Josh would leave our home and that that was something that I wanted. And while those changes, those different seasons in life, while they are difficult, they're certainly doable because you and I have the time to process and to think through. But what about those unexpected changes, when a season shifts and you're not in charge of the season and it's really prescribed by your Heavenly Father and not by you? When those changes happen, they can be unexpected, and the changes, they really challenge this illusion that we have that says this: if I'm in control of my circumstances, I have security. And what I want to talk to you about today is these changes and how these changes challenge that lie in our life that lies to us and says, oh, if I stay in control and if nothing changes in my life, then I'll be secure. When the reality is that true security is found in God's perfect love, not through perfect circumstances. But have you ever found yourself just hanging on to a past season because you are trying or you're afraid to open up your arms to the new season? And when I think about this truth, the picture that comes to my mind is, as I record this, fall is getting ready to hop on the scene. And I love fall as the leaves trade their green in for a different palette of just vibrant red and bursts of orange and yellow. And then after that season, after those colors have worn their season, then brown begins to creep across the leaf. Well, most of the leaves on the tree know that their season is up, that a new season is on the horizon. And so they trust their maker. They trust the creator that is really in control of the seasons of life. And they let go of that tree and they fall. They fall into really what is God's plan for their life. But other leaves that are brown continue to hang on to that limb. In fact, if you look around this winter and look up, you'll see that there are still some, they may just be a few, maybe one or two on a tree, but it's a brown leaf that just refused to let go. And no matter how much the wind blows or the storms come or what may happen, that brown leaf hangs on in there. And it hangs on in there all the way into spring. Now, when spring happens, the leaf ends up falling to the ground because a new leaf is coming into its place. It's emerging. It's bringing forth that new season, and it's pushing that leaf out. And so sort of the picture in that is that even though the leaf hung on with all of its might, it could not prevent the change from happening. And I wonder if anybody listening today, and maybe it was a past provision or a past relationship or a past place in your life, or maybe a position that you had, and it used to nourish your heart, and it was good for a season, and then it became very clear that was no longer a place of nourishment, that it was no longer a place of provision. But because you want to stay in control and you don't want to let go of what was once good, you're like that brown leaf that hangs onto the limb and doesn't want to let go. And you see, it's an illusion, because what will eventually happen is exactly what happened to the leaf, that the new season marches on the horizon. And while we would love to be in control because we think that brings us security, we have a master strategist, God, our mighty, loving, almighty Father. And the reason why he introduces change into the scene is not because he wants to rob us, but because there's a new blessing on hand. I love this scripture in Mark 2, in Mark 2, 22. It says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost." New wine calls for new wineskins. And that verse always makes me stop and think, because, you know, it wasn't everybody, but some people, the Pharisees, who they studied the scriptures, and yet they failed. They failed to embrace the new season. They failed to see Jesus. And it makes me really stop and think. I mean, I look back at them and I say, you know, how could they be so blind? And yet, I know that in my life, when change happens, when those unexpected changes happen in my life, it can create insecurity. And in my insecurity, I may want to hang on to what I know and what is comfortable, even though it's not healthy anymore for my soul, and even though God is doing a new work. And I wonder if any of you can relate. And maybe it is that at the time you're listening to this podcast, that an unexpected change has come upon the season, and the change in your life has shaken your confidence. And oftentimes, it's those unexpected changes in my own life that will tend to rattle my confidence a little bit. And they do that because they're bringing out the insecurities in me. You see, change happens because God wants us to hold on tightly to the provider, but not onto the provision. That he is always doing a new work in our life, and that change challenges this truth. Change challenges this truth in our life, that security is found in controlling and staying the same, and in controlling people and in controlling our circumstances. And it's a losing battle, one that will bring insecurity and fear, because we're trying to hold on to what we don't have the ability and the power to hold on to. And much like that brown leaf that is still holding on for all its might to a leaf, sometimes it's time to let go. Well, the reality is that control is an illusion, because life constantly changes. Control is an illusion because life constantly changes. Now, inside of 1 Peter, and if you listened to the podcast last week, you know that sort of the background on this, but I'll bring you up to speed, that Peter is writing this letter to encourage the Jewish Christians that had been scattered, and they'd been scattered just in this culture that did not accept them, that was rejecting them. And when the emperor Nero was on the throne, that he was persecuting Christians, that he was killing them and demanding that they have their allegiance, and the Jewish Christians, strong in their faith, were standing strong for Christ, and yet they were being persecuted for it. And so Peter is coming on the scene, and Peter's not coming from a place of self-righteousness or pompous pride or a super spiritual position, because we remember that Peter himself, that when life turned upside down, and although he had walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and served with Jesus, in fact, Peter was not just a part of the 12 disciples, he was a part of Jesus's inner circle inside of the 12 disciples, that inside that inner circle that Peter saw Jesus transfigured, and even from all of those experiences, when Jesus was being arrested and the proceedings were getting ready to happen that would send him to the cross, the Bible tells us that Peter denied Christ. And so Peter is not talking to us from a holier than thou position, but he's saying, I know when things are not as they seem, and when life seems upside down and you just feel like you're losing everything and you have no control, that it can be tempting to deny your faith and to walk away. But I'm here to encourage you today with these words. And so we're going to be looking at the words that Peter encouraged that early church with, and we're going to allow those words to come into our lives and to encourage us as well. And the Jewish people inside of this, the Jewish Christians inside of this passage, they were facing tremendous change that was out of their control. I mean, they once had this promised place from God, the land of Canaan, their inheritance, and they had this position of God's chosen people, and all of a sudden they're being rejected and all of these sorts of things, and no longer is that inheritance in place. But see, God was getting ready to change. God was getting ready to change, because often unexpected changes are often God's invitation to something greater. In other words, just like in that passage in Mark, the old wineskins, well, they worked, they were provision for a while, but now there's new wineskins, and hey, God's chosen people, you're not only God's chosen people, you're children of God, and I know that inheritance was yours, but now there's even a spiritual inheritance in Christ that goes far beyond that, and I want to ask you today, could it perhaps be that the unexpected change that's happening in your life is because God wants you to let go of a former provision so that you can depend greater, more on Him and open your arms for a new provision? Well, the one blessing that change always brings to us, because these sort of unexpected changes in our life that happen, and it could be something as drastic as your husband has come home and he said that he's going to leave you, or perhaps it may be that your children are walking through a difficult time, or there's a new situation at work and a new boss on the scene, and this unexpected change. It wasn't a change that you chose, but it's a change that happened. It was prescribed by God, and you're wondering, and it can become a trial, and it can create these insecurities. But the truth of the matter is that change is good. because change will challenge our illusion of security by bringing out insecurities and pointing us to the source of true security. And that is what Peter is doing. He's saying, I know that there's all these things going on and life doesn't make sense, but you can live with great expectation because your security is not in your surroundings and it's not in perfect circumstances, but in a perfect Savior. I'm going to read verses 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Now, inside of those passages, we see Peter sort of personifying trials in our life as fire. And there are many trials that you and I can face. There are persecutions from others, and there's trials certainly that we face because of bad choices that we make. But then there are trials that come through those unexpected changes when we just say, you know, life is spinning out of control and I don't know what's going on. And so I want to talk specifically today about that. And so here's the first thing that I want to say. When it talks about that our faith is being tested in the fire, this is a good test. It's a test to show you that the faith that already exists inside of you. My son is a junior now, and so he's going through the SATs, and there was somebody that came and talked to our school about the SAT test. And what was so ironic to me and quite frankly really disappointing is that they said that, you know, the SAT is really not a test of your intellect or how smart you are. It's really a test of how well you can take the test. And then he compared that to the tests that teachers normally give, which are there to help a student and to help them grow. And so, you know, these kind of tests are, it's not to trick you. It's not like the SAT, like God is out to trick you or to make you feel bad. No, your God wants you to stand strong in your faith. And so the first thing that happens is that inside of this passage, Peter is comparing those trials to fire. And that's because back then, in this time period, a goldsmith would take gold and he would stick it into the fire. And the first reason was so that the impurities could rise to the surface. And see, when you and I walk through these sorts of changes, fires bring out the impurities in our faith, because fire reveals the insecure sources where I'm placing my faith. And so, in other words, when we're facing an unexpected change and maybe somebody you've been working with for years is going to take a leave of absence and you know, your immediate drop back is, oh, you know, what are we going to do? Oh, no. And that's certainly natural. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a natural reaction to what we can see. But it can also tell us where we're putting our faith, and we can drop back and say, you know, this caught me off guard, but my faith is not in a person. It's in my provider, right? And see, faith always has to have an object, and God wants you to put your faith in Him. And the reason is that He is unchanging. While life changes, His love never changes. While circumstances go up and down, His word remains the same. God is always seated on the throne. And so true security is not putting our faith in our circumstances or people. And aren't you tired of putting your faith in people that can continue to let you down? Well, God doesn't want you to do that, because often if we're putting our faith in people, and that's where our security lies, insecurity will absolutely be present in our life. And see, here's the other thing, is that we'll start to hold on too tightly to people. And the reality is that we cannot love people if we're holding on too tightly to Him. And so what I see as my source of security will step into my center and will ultimately become my source of insecurity. But a lot of times I'm seeing that God will just, a change will happen in life and a new season on the horizon. And it's scary at first, but then it helps me to see maybe I was putting too much faith in a person, and I need to hold that person loosely and on tightly to my God. Number two is that the fire proves our faith. It shows the value, and that's what fire does. It not only brought out impurities, but it also proved that the gold was gold. And sometimes when you and I walk through a fire, we hold our head down in shame. But honestly, God wants you to say, you know what? I know that your husband left you and you went through that divorce, but you're still standing and you're still believing and you still have faith. And I know that you are a single mom, and maybe yesterday the world came apart, and perhaps it is that you lost your cool, but you're still standing. And see, He wants you to walk through things like that so you find out what's inside of you. And here's another aspect of that, you know, sometimes we walk through a change and a fire, one that we didn't prescribe, so that God can show us what's really inside of us. I remember we were creating our website for Treasured Ministries, and it was time to really make a more robust website. And so I said, you know, this, websites are just massive projects they don't have to be, but when you're at the point where you need it can just be a massive project. I mean, there's copy to write and images to choose and links to create and all these sorts of things. And so I looked around at companies and found this company that did stellar work, and I said, oh, I want them to do our website. And shortly after working with them on a proposal, it became very clear to me that while they are great people, extremely talented, no doubt, that they were not believers, and it would be hard for them to grasp what the gist was and what we were trying to communicate through Treasured Ministries. So it just became clear, and it wasn't a slight on them. It just, you know, we needed to do something different. And when that happened, I'll never forget, you know, I just got overwhelmed at first because, you know, what I had planned was this, and then the change happened, and I just prayed. And in my prayer time, the Lord impressed upon me, Aline, do you not think that I can help you to formulate this website? And I put the world into place. I can help you do this. Depend on me. And in my depending upon Him, God's solution that He gave me was to work with this writing coach. And it was in that season that I worked very hard on the copy now that you see on Treasured Ministries, that not only did God birth a beautiful website, but He also just really increased my the ability to write. And even in my dependence upon on Him. And so sometimes change has to happen so that we won't depend on other people, that we'll find out just the power that happens when we begin to depend on the Holy Spirit. And you know, the other thing that fire does in our life is it gives us compassion. It gives us compassion as we walk through this. And so fire, if I could give it another analogy, you know, it's like when we are not using certain muscles in our body, right? Because right now I'm going to a physical therapist because I love to go running, but I also love to sit and write. And when we sit, our glutes are turned off. And so what can happen because we're not using those muscles is that they're not strong enough to hold our hips in place when we run. And our pelvis gets tilted. And I know you really cared about learning about all that. But anyway, so I started experiencing this pain when I ran and went to a physical therapist, and he gave me exercises that just sort of just awakened these muscles that had sort of been asleep in my glutes, right? And so sometimes a fire does that in our life, an unexpected change. Well, we have to depend on God, and it just wakes up what we already have, and it makes us flex our faith muscle. And finally, fire allows God to show you and others His glory, and it's said that goldsmiths back in that time, that they would hold the gold in the fire until they could see their reflection. And see, when we walk through a fire, when we walk through difficult circumstances, it points others to Christ, because, you know, embracing our humanity and embracing a struggle, that does more, sometimes I think, than a sermon to point others to God's divinity. Are you walking through unexpected change and it feels like you're walking through the fire? Get ready, because God is doing a beautiful work in you. You see, genuine faith, that's what God wants for you. Genuine faith, not perfect circumstances, is the greatest gift, and unexpected changes invite us to examine our faith and to grow it deeper through a personal relationship with Jesus. And here's how that happens, and here's what Paul is doing, because Paul is saying, he's giving them this invitation to live with joy despite all the changes that are going in their life, to live with joy by looking up. I'm going to start reading in verse 3. All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Isn't that awesome? So he was saying, he was encouraging them, I know this change has gone on in your life, but now I want you to live by looking up with great expectation, because while life can change, your inheritance can never change. My love for you can never change. That is the truth in God's word. That is the truth in God's word. And can you hear my dog, Samson? Can I just be authentic and real for y'all? He is just barking away. He is barking away. All right, so let's dive right back in. And so Paul invites them to live with joy and security by looking up. He points them away from their circumstances and points them to the place of true security, because our security is found in our Savior. And he's basically saying, let go and embrace the new. And I want you to allow this moment in time women. And let maybe you want to read through the book of 1 Peter and let that be the very pathway that puts Jesus at the center of your life as you receive these same words of encouragement. Because you see, while life changes, God's love never changes. True security and courage to embrace change in life comes through our faith in Christ. Our faith in Christ. Now, let me read this passage to you in verses 8 and 9. It says, "You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." You love him even though you have never seen him. In other words, he's saying you may not see God's love, but will you believe it? Will you believe it? And see, that's how we become blessed, by believing even though we can't see it. That scripture just reminded me of this passage about doubting Thomas. And if you grew up in church, I'm sure you're very familiar with this story, but I'm going to read it to you. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not when the others when Jesus came and they told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in the hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand in the wound on his side." And have you ever been inside of church and your pastor is telling you that God loves you, and maybe it is that you're in your small group leader and you're in your small group and your leader tells you that God loves you, but there's a big difference between when somebody tells us that God loves us and when we experience it for ourselves. And so it wasn't until it says this, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you." And I wonder how much peace you and I would have if when life fell apart, we said, "You know, I don't understand all of this, but I'm just going to believe that God loves me, and I'm just going to love him by just remaining strong in my faith." And how much peace that would give us in the midst of change that we didn't choose, that we don't understand. But then it says that Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." And then Thomas exclaims, "My Lord, my God." And see, when life falls apart, you and I need to look at the cross and look at the nails that Jesus took for us, and he gave his life for us, and that communicates love to us. And see, that it is this deep relationship with Jesus that is the force that drives him to the center of our lives. And we see this inside of the Gospels. Jesus interacted with women in the Gospels that his words changed them because they could see themselves differently and they could see God differently and they began to live differently. And his words gave them the courage to let go. And whether that was an alabaster jar in Mark chapter 14 with Mary or the water jug that the Samaritan woman was carrying, that these women, they were able to let go and embrace Jesus before them. And that's because of their strong relationship. You see, a relationship deepens through words because words connect us to each other. And this is the goal of the Nourish Bible Study Method. It is not that you would understand every single passage of Scripture. It's that you would connect with Jesus, that what we want to do and what our prayer is that your lives would be transformed, not because of what we preach or the podcast or anything that I write, but because you've connected with Jesus through his word, that you've changed your approach to Bible study in such a way that it makes room for the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Nourish Bible Study Method is all about. And so that's how our relationship deepens. It is through the words. And when Jesus moves to the center of our life, it creates security and joy despite our circumstances, because perfect love, not perfect circumstances, is what the Bible tells us casts out fear. And see, here's the truth, is that your identity in Christ never changes. Your identity in Christ, it never changes. And Peter begins this letter in just these first 12 verses. He just over and over again brings up aspect about their identity in Christ. And so he's bringing up these different aspects of that. And he wants to remind them of who they are, because that never changes once you become a child of God. Now, there was a huge shift that happened inside of my faith when somebody that had a healing ministry and a teaching ministry, he and his wife sat down with me and they explained this truth to me, because, you know, I would read passages that would say things like, I'm chosen, I'm a child of God, and I have victory over the power of sin in my life. And then I would look inside of my life and I would say, you know, I don't see that. I see sometimes I lose my temper with my kids, you know, in a long day, or I mess up and I don't see that. And so I live defeated, because I was living not by faith in God's word, but by what I saw. And so Peter is calling them, saying, I know that you're being mistreated, but the way that somebody is treating you is not a reflection about the truth about who you are. Now I'm going to do something. I'm getting ready to read through one of the most powerful things that we can do inside of Scripture. And I did this for the first 12 verses in 1 Peter. And actually, there is a link inside of this podcast description that you can use to download what I'm getting ready to read to you, and you can put it in your Bible and use it. But what it is I've taken all the you are's in 1 Peter 1 through 12, like you are a child of God, and I've changed that to an I am. I am a child of God. You see, what happens in our life more often than not is that the you are's that people spoke over us as we were growing up, or maybe we marinated inside of our marriage, they become our I am, and it becomes like a drumbeat that leads us when other people mistreat us or our circumstances are not what they should be. And so that you are becomes our I am, and we begin to live out of those lies instead of the truth, which is why God calls us to renew our minds daily on who we on Scripture and remember his faithfulness. And I believe that's why Peter began his letter not talking about how to change their behavior, but reminding them about who they are. I want you to listen. Just let these wash over your soul. And all of these are true because they're in God's word. It's not because of my actions. It's because of what Christ did for me. And that the more I believe these things, walking by what I don't see with my eyes, but what I see with the eyes of faith, the more that they will affect what I believe, and then in turn, how I behave, because faith and action walk hand in hand. And I will never forget when that link was made to me. It was like a light bulb moment that went off. And so one of the things that I do daily after I finish my quiet time is I declare God's truth over my life, because people will speak ugly things about you, and you might still be believing some wrong tapes from your past, but God calls us to renew our mind, and part of that is declaring the truth. So in Christ, all these things are true in Christ, okay? Not because of what we did, but as we become born again. In Christ, I am a child of God. I am part of the most amazing family. I belong to the body of Christ. I am known by God. I am chosen by God. I am made holy through the Holy Spirit. I am completely forgiven, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I am following Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am a recipient of God's grace. I am born again into new life because God raised Jesus from the dead. I am living with great expectation because I have a priceless inheritance kept for me in heaven that is beyond the reach of change and decay. I am assured of my salvation because through my faith, God is protecting it. I am promised that when my faith remains strong through the trials of life, it will bring glory to God and prove my faith stronger. I am trusting in the Lord and living in His amazing, abundant agape love through faith. Through faith. The in Him realities. And Peter begins his letter this way, and he basically, there's lots of change going on, and what he's saying is, I know that this change has happened, but you are still secure in who you are, because true security is not found through perfect circumstances. No, the Bible tells us that true security is found through God's perfect love. So control over my circumstances is an illusion of security, and change will always challenge this illusion by bringing insecurities and inadequacies to the surface to actually point us to true security. And the truth is that while life changes, God's love never changes, and that true security and courage to embrace change in life comes from our faith in Christ, and that when we move Jesus to the center of our lives by deepening our relationship with Him, by spending time in God's Word, that it creates security and joy despite our circumstances, because perfect love, not perfect circumstances, are what will cast out fear. I'm going to give you a takeaway assignment. I'm going to give you three things. Number one is this. If you would like a copy of those In Him statements that I read to you, there is a link at the bottom of this podcast description, and all you have to do is click on the link. And what I do is I keep a copy of this right where I do my quiet time. And every day when I'm done with my quiet time, I read those truths aloud. And so I want to encourage you to make God's you are your I am by declaring truth over your life. And again, all you have to do is to click on the link and you can download this free resource. That's the first. Number one. Number two, deepen your relationship with Jesus by spending time in God's Word and letting that revelation be one that He gives you personally. And if you want to learn how to do that, I want to invite you to download our free resource, Her Nourished Heart, that teaches you the Nourish Bible Study Method. And all you have to do is to go to www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com, and you can download that, or we've got other resources that you can use to deepen your relationship with the Lord through His Word. And then finally, and I just feel led to share this, if somebody has left you, let them go. If somebody has left you, don't be like the leaf that hangs on and hangs on and hangs on. Perhaps it's time to let go. Now, I certainly don't know your circumstance or your situation, but here's what I've seen inside of my own life, that sometimes people are in our lives for a season, and that we can feel very guilty about letting go, and we can feel very guilty about things not working out, but a lot of women will feel this way. And in response to that, what we might do is we might make the other person a big villain and to justify our leaving. But the thing is that if somebody has let go of you, it doesn't matter how hard you try to hang on. Inevitably, if God has said it's time to let go, then it's time to let go. I think about, I'm putting together a podcast series now with three women who all walked through the fire of adultery, and God has redeemed all three of their situation, but all three of their redemptions look different. And in one scenario, the husband was willing to work, and he went to counseling, and has just done God has just done an amazing work in their life and in their marriage. But in another situation, the husband, you know, went to counseling at first and then just said, I cannot do this and I won't do this anymore. And in another situation, the husband actually said, I don't think I've done anything wrong, right? And so sometimes, and these women that were in those scenarios, they prayed, they fasted, they prayed, they did everything that they knew to do, and they tried, but then there was a point where it was time to let go. And sometimes we'll spend our energy just trying to hang on when it's time to let go. And you can have the courage to do that, because true security is found through God's perfect love, not in people, not in perfect circumstances, and not in a past provision. Thanks so much for listening in today, everybody. I look forward to speaking with you next week. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email at eileen@treasuredministries.com and pass the word on to your friends about our podcast. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.